You know, talking to the kids about conformity, which is a very difficult word, and I'm sure there is nobody in here this morning who ever does that. Nobody. We all do. We do. It's part of what I would call civilization's downfall. We conform to things sometimes that we unwittingly just accept because we don't want to bother to go any further than the nose on our face. And we conform to hatred, we conform to bigotry, we conform to, can I keep listening? We do. And we do it sometimes even unknowingly. For instance, a good case in point, after the Pearl Harbor bombing in 1941, and for you kids, that was the beginning of World War II, which was one of the other wars that just keeps going on. In Pearl Harbor, every Japanese American was then condemned. That's fact. And because they were all, that's the word that the President of the United States used, all under suspicion, they were forced into what they call camps, we call concentration camps, because that's pretty much what they were. Their freedom was erased. It happened. And we thought, well, that's going to be for the best interest of the country. Yes. Conformity. We did this after 9/11, and every Muslim in the United States was guilty of sedition and treasonous thinking. We did it. I remember reading editorials. We didn't put them into camps because it was suggested, by the way, by two members of Congress that we do what we did in World War II. Get them all together and coop them up. Then we'll be safe. Conformity. Conformity affects our life, the way we think and the way we act. We conform through churches. I think one of the things, I just marvel at Facebook and all the stuff that goes there, that friends of mine put there, and I wonder, where in God's name did they get this kind of thinking? And Barbara balls me out when I say they're stupid. That's one of my favorite words. Among others, but I'm using that. It's better this morning. Conformity. Ministers, when we get together, there are those who conform to a solid wall where they will not bend or even consider any other way of doing things or saying things. And they love it. And they don't like it when I say something. I won't tell you what they call me. But that's all right. Conformity. It's nothing new, because the lesson we're reading from Paul is one of his greatest, sense of urgency in speaking to people who were accepting Christ as novices, as just babies in the faith. You don't want to conform your standards. You don't want to conform your ideals. You don't want to conform the things that really matter. Open your Bibles, or I said the new way to do it, open your tablets. Yeah, it's the same thing. Even at presbytery meetings now, I see all the ministers going up with their tablets and standing there with their tablets. And I tried it, though. And Jan, sometimes without my glasses, my bifocal doesn't pick it up. Can you get large print tablets? I don't know. You can. They have large... They changed the text. Now, knowing my luck, I'd get one to change the content. Anyway, what we're looking at now is Paul's letter to the Romans. And what better people would he write to than these? And we're looking at the first 8 verses. Really, that's all. Living sacrifice. A good favorite scripture, I think, for many of us. Paul writes, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world and be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each one of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function. So, in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Amen. I think Paul was writing the Romans because too often in their society and in their world, they were like lemmings following one after another until they come to a cliff and then everyone jumps because the leader jumped. That's exactly what he was thinking about when he was looking at these Christians conforming, giving in to the world's patterns. Too often we're like that, I think. Conformity and the pressure to conform is a danger that Paul confronted all throughout his ministry, which is really brief when you measure it in terms of the centuries. Paul's reason for writing the Romans was to resist the pressure to conform to a variety of cultural problems which were then in evidence. And they're in evidence now, cultural values and problems which never really changed. Deja vu. Over and over. There was tremendous pressure on these new Christians, these Gentiles, to adapt to the Jewish Christian ideas. Conform. Conform to eating kosher. Conform to doing it this way. Conform to keeping the Sabbath. Conform to... And it was going on and on, conforming. And the pressure was on. The pressure was on. There was also a pressure, which you can understand, to conform to Roman culture and the way things were done in the big city. And everybody said, well, you know, you can be a Christian, but you can be a good Roman too. Live it up. That's fact. And they were looking at this pressure to conform. Paul encourages individuals and tells us to take a good look at ourselves. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And you know, this is more true today than ever before in our history. Don't get carried away with how wonderful you are. And there are people that love that hymn, How Great I Art. And they love to sing it. Sometimes society gives individuality lip service, and they do it by way of politics. They do it by way of advertising. They do it by way of family and peer pressure. You can't think that way. You better think the way I'm thinking, or you're in trouble. Community standards, society in general. I love to hear all the moral stuff about medical marijuana. And I've got a minister friend of mine who's preaching against it. I didn't find that in.
It really is. It's your choice. I don't think it enters even in the debate that we're looking at in terms of conformity. I know it's not hard to conform, but look at all of the possibilities. Look at all of the things that something can do before you condemn it, or condemn them, or condemn someone. That's the pressure of community. That's the pressure of conformity. Paul expected that anyone, if anyone accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, then, and he was also looking at some of the disciples who were selling out to the society around them, that's fact. If you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, don't become a cookie-cutter Christian. Be fully a Christian in all that you do, in all that you say, in all that you think, in all that you act. Don't just, a couple of weeks ago I said cut and paste. Don't cut and paste your faith. Don't. Paul points out that many gifts given to us, and he lists them all in that beautiful scripture. And he deliberately uses a word that we translate as member. That's the word that was translated here. And members, because that word in English refers not to interchangeable parts the way we think it does, but different parts of the body. The grace of God. The grace of God and the grace of God's difference granted to us and granted by us to one another is clear. This is what Paul means about the spiritual body, the spiritual worship. Without it, you're not really God's people. You're a cookie-cutter Christian. You are. You know, I love differences. And differences of opinion are healthy because it makes you want to know more about something and not just take something for granted. And I think this is one of the missing treasures, really, of Christianity today. We are so diverse, it's spread all over the place, that we don't know which direction we want to go. We were talking to friends last night, and we were talking about the future of the church, and I said I was just reading an article in Christianity, in Christian Century, about the church, how it's changing, and how we have to adapt and find new ways, because you've got people on two levels, and you look at the levels, and you may have today's society in this contemporary shelf, and you may have on this side traditionalists who like things the way they are. Don't change the thinking. Don't do anything at all. This is change anything and everything. And then you've got that big hole in the middle. That big hole that seems to be asking, what are you as the body of Christ? And it's filled with all kinds of differences. It's filled with all kinds of people, every color, every shade, every background in that hole. And they aren't comfortable sitting on that shelf, and they aren't comfortable on that shelf. What's the church going to do? What are we to do? Along with our weaknesses and strengths, we can look at Paul's words. And we can enrich our own lives by wanting to bring those gifts that God has given to us back to his church and back to his kingdom. And do you know, by doing that, even in this little locale, by doing that, we're going to transform, believe it or not, McLeod, and we are certainly going to transform maybe a chunk of the Bartow community and of Polk County. Whoa! Wouldn't Paul be proud? Wouldn't Christ be proud? A church of love and peace, acceptance and celebration. God, we're grateful you've given us opportunities to serve, and we're grateful that you've given us opportunities to love. And we're grateful even more that you challenge us to want to get out of our corners, to dust off our feet, and walk where we dared not walk, and to claim what we dared not claim for the glory that only is in Jesus Christ. Amen.